This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Such a mixture,
UFO.
Ain't nobody know,
UFO.
It's so strong it shoots him through the sky,
like a UFO.
What's this I see? Cloud of smoke in front of me, screaming sharp stick hit my throat, my blast off like lightning bolt.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 22nd of May, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On Wednesdays, we intentionally combine the shows On the Clock with Erin Green and Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry for a Man Down Mashup Wednesday session where we interrogate what is in the news. Our guest this morning has had to postpone, but we can still pick up some of that conversation, taking a look at the marijuana bills that were tabled, and then some questions, some of which were to be posed to our guests, some of which I think are great for general discussion. We're talking cannabis, we're talking marijuana, but it's also, Mr. Newry, open line. We're talking what's in the newspapers today over the last few days. Let's get the show started with some housekeeping to my Hannah Hasty Tynes family. Our next general meeting is Thursday, May the 30th. That's Thursday, the 30th of May, 2024, 6 p.m. St. John's College. And for our HHT Family Association jumble sale, we have postponed that to Saturday, the 8th of June. It'll be the Saturday after the Labor Day, immediately after, the next day after the Labor Day holiday, which is Friday, June 7th. We're going to be at Hibiscus Wash House. Please look out for details on how to donate goods, books, used books. Brand new books if you're feeling spicy, use books. Used and gently used clothing, household items, accessories. We accept in them all for the HHT Family Association Jumble Sale this Saturday, the 8th of June at Hibiscus Wash House. Mr. Newry.
Is it Jumble or Jumbo Sale?
It's Jumble.
How do you spell that?
J-U-M-B-L-E.
Really?
Yeah.
All my life I've been saying jumbo.
Yeah.
But I can't talk well, so.
That's because you're looking for big sales.
Yeah. And by the way, my stepfather said, tell you good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. Look at how I have to send this mango.
He like mango.
For Uncle
that's
Jack.
That's a small mango.
But listen, that's the first mango I procure for the season.
For the season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he would be grateful. But that's a small mango.
I mean, but the adventure.
You need to understand my stepdaddy. He'd be grateful. But he can say that's a small mango.
Listen, the mango is small, but the adventure to get it was great.
So let's tarry a bit and set on a mangola when you get a mangola.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, don't get riled because I figure my Uncle Jack would tell me, send the small one now.
No.
And don't forget to send a big one later.
I have known him all my life. He will appreciate the mangola. This is going to get frustrating with the hairy mango.
That's not what variety that is.
What kind of mango it is?
That's a small mangola.
Let me look at it.
Anyway, I procured my first...
No, that's too small.
I procured my first mango yesterday.
Get him a big one one time.
No problem. We got a little agricultural tip, though, before we get into the show. So, most important thing to note about this mango season. Mangoes on the ground before scarlet plum.
I saw a scarlet plum the other day, though.
Yeah, but was the entire tree bursting with that vibrant scarlet?
No.
Just a couple scarlet poking out.
Yes, I saw it on a sack. Alumni president's page, she got a whole bag of scarlet plum. She didn't share it. But she lived in Pinewood. They have all kind of fruit trees there too.
Yeah, because I bet you they get a lot of soursop and sugar apple. because they like wet roots. Mulberry like wet roots too. So here's what I found about the mango, something I picked up on trending over the last 3 or 4 years, maybe even longer than that. Mm-hmm. I think it's because of the heat. It's also, I was informed by a farmer, I want to say good morning, sir, to the farmer known as Faki, pig farmer, one of the premier farmers in the country from the Gladstone Road Farmers Market. So what I found is that mangoes are getting riper from the inside out, right? So you're looking at a mango on your tree and you think it's still green, but when it's flush with color, the usual sign that it's ripe, and you get into it, it's already overripe, going to rotten. And so I want to remind people with fruit trees, cultivators, vendors, the pickers, the people who are actually harvesting, that you got to check your mangoes early and see how the fruit is actually developing. Because a lot of the mangoes, when you cut into them, they're absolutely overripe at the seed. And they're getting ripe, you know, and then the ripening process is delayed as you get to the outer skin of the mango. So don't let these mangoes sit on the tree and stew in its own heat and juices this year. Check your mangoes, get them off the tree. Get them off the tree. And scarlet plum is later than mango. Usually, we'll get scarlet plum at the very beginning of the mango season. Scarlet plum is about to end, right? But right now, scarlet plum's still green on most of the trees.
And I appreciate that. And I want to ask you a question. There's such a thing as a farmer's almanac, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the hell that is, but I remember... that was a question for BGCSE when I was back in school decades ago, right?
Right.
What is a farmer's almanac? And the reason I asked that is it's been dry for like 40 days. Mm-hmm. Does that impact hurricanes? And does the farmer almanac tells go give detail on, hey, in order to, if you're going to predict how strong the season may be or what my prediction, do you go to a farmer's almanac for that?
Well, that's interesting. I don't think that's the main... Of course, that's not the main purpose of a farmer's almanac, but I imagine that seasoned farmers will use elements of what they find in the yearly farmer's almanac to be able to forecast what to expect, but not the information alone in the almanac. They would use that sort of juxtaposed with or to... In context with other information to forecast and get a sense of what's happening.
Do we have any local person who like write down or scribe the conditions of summer, like pre-hurricane, say, well, these things was happening, and then have it as a reference point for 10 years later?
Well, I think the good farmers are doing that, right? The farmer I referenced, Faki, I think his name is Mr. Farquharson, right? He, in speaking to him, he's obviously documenting what he's observing in his farming practice, right? Mm-hmm. And he's used, like, in terms of land usage and when to shift fields, when to move crops to different fields, when to turn over a field, leave it empty and turn it over so it can recover and restore. Mm. What types of organic trash you can dump in that, or say dump would suggest it is actually valueless, right? But what types of organic trash can you place on those plots to help rejuvenate and regenerate the nutrients in the soil?
Okay.
Right? And so a farmer worth his salt, I mean the Bahamas, pun intended, is documenting those observations. Now, whether there's any farming association that's producing an almanac or collating and producing this type of documentation so other farmers, meteorologists, NGOs, environmentalists can access it, even vendors. Like, that's one thing I had hoped for as a vendor, that I could rely on farmers to give me a sense of how much reject tomatoes they expect at the end of every season. And from a business perspective, that sounds weird, right? Like, oh no, I plan on selling all of this, right? Like, I'll have nothing that's valueless at the end of the season. But then you, if you know the grow system here, because of the way that the government subsidizes farmers, you find that farmers are all growing the same thing at the same time.
Yes.
Right? And so surely I would expect that farmers would be sort of calculating what an expected or potential sort of overflow or loss would be so that they could then redirect, like repackage that and direct it to vendors who are looking for low-cost, ripe and overripe tomatoes for processing and production purposes. So you could get a sense of how much money you can make from what you can't sell on the traditional market through a vendor's market, right? But I imagine that due to a lack of real resources in the place, farmers are just too busy focused on the farming to be focused on documenting the farming in a way that can be used by other people.
I just love statistics and documents. That's just me. And I just realized that there seems to be no Bohemian version
of a farmer.
Yeah, that farmer's almanac type thing. But I got to say, there's pepper at the produce exchange.
Now, when you say pepper, are there sacks of pepper?
Sacks of pepper. You could go by $100 You know, I was vexed with that. But
Wait. What size sack for $100?
Five pounds. That's 5 pounds. No, one, the big thing.
The big red sack?
Big red
sack. The 50-pound sack.
Yeah.
For how much?
That's 120.
Listen, call Brave. And have you tested the quality of the peppers?
Because no, there's good quality.
Agricultural prices should fluctuate depending on the quality determined, right? The determined quality of the
peppers. Beautifully looking peppers.
They're beautiful
assorted
looking.
Assorted peppers.
But were they hot?
They were, but then I mixed it with my scorpion, so I'm not sure how hot that one was, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they had an array of different types of peppers in this the sack.
Oh, so it was a mix sack?
It was a mix sack.
Okay, so it's like goat pepper, Thai finger pepper.
Humor is, I didn't see any goat pepper at all. I've seen like habaneros and different version of habaneros in it. Which like is similar to gold pepper.
Different versions, like colors, like chocolate, habanero, yellow, red, yellow.
Yellow and red and orange peppers.
Here's a vibe.
They sell them individually too, and they can go pick them out. They have that also. That was cheaper. It's cheaper than paying that $5 and $10 on the side of the street from those other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From retailers.
Whoever the retailers who sell stuff on the side of the road, it is cheaper.
Who've captured a market that's available to anybody.
It's available to anybody, but they corner the market. But I was glad to see the produce exchange have peppers.
And at an absolutely decent price.
Besides the sack. But you can get the individual one, which is a good price.
As well.
Yeah.
But the sack is...
$120
for a sack of peppers right now is a good price.
That's true. Because the other day I was going to pay $300, and I said, that's ridiculous. I could never do it.
Yeah,
ain't that serious?
My only concern would be that with cultivation, right? With the increase in cultivation, the expansion of BAIC and BAMZI, the availability or the greater access to technical resources available to farmers, that we may have sort of entered a period where we're overwatering our peppers, but still expecting to get the same sort of pungency, the same heat levels.
But the good thing is, it was a water shortage in terms of arena.
So hopefully these peppers would have dried out, which would maximize
the heat
to some extent, the heat
but
levels.
These peppers were huge. These are a thumb big. These are bigger than I expected. If you used to goat pepper, they don't want to be like a half a thumb.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a full thumb in terms of size, some bigger than even a thumb, like an index size. And like I said, there's a variation inside this sack that you go pick it, whatever it is. So it was a good price. And it's good to see Bohemians selling pepper. So you know me, I try to be the nationalist. I try to buy Bohemian pepper. It was good to see.
I mean, they're all Bohemian pepper.
It can't be all Bohemian pepper if I have to translate.
Where was the pepper grown, Mr. Newry?
I don't know. Well, who grew the peppers? What ethnicity the pepper is.
Okay, so your concern is that people may be importing pepper during the pepper shortage. That people may have been importing pepper and selling them, purporting to be local pepper. Or not even purporting, they just selling pepper.
That ain't my concern. It was grown right here.
But then they make it Bohemian pepper.
Not when it's not sold by Bohemians. They make it foreign pepper. I won't buy pepper from Bohemians. They're just me. I will make sure it trickles down to Bahamian farmers.
I mean, but if Bahamians are growing the peppers.
I know who's growing the peppers. I just know who's selling the peppers. And I'm saying I'm looking for a Bahamian selling the peppers that I would buy from that person.
So let me ask you a question. If you found out that a Bahamian farm on Bahamian soil with 99.99% Haitian labor grew the peppers, harvested the peppers, processed the peppers, and are selling the peppers, you ain't gonna buy the peppers?
If it's a Bahamian selling the peppers, I would buy the pepper.
But what if it's a Bahamian farm that's selling the pepper?
If it's a Bahamian selling the pepper, I will buy the pepper. I go into the retail person and I say, what you saying, boy? If you can't say everything cool, boy, I ain't buying the pepper no more. But that's just me. So, I want a Bahamian selling the pepper.
So I shouldn't tell you how it is that people of Haitian descent and even Haitians can speak with a perfectly clear Bahamian.
That means that by Bahamianizing, I can dap and say, what you saying, everything cool? And I can say, man, what you get? What
so it's the effort to assimilate that you appreciate.
I just want the person who's selling the pepper to speak Bahamian.
When I used to go downtown, when black people could go downtown, except on the wharf where that nightclub was.
Yeah.
But I mean, you could be outside, but you couldn't go up the stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That when I used to go downtown, one of the things that annoys me most about the Bahamian tourism product is the affect that vendors use to engage American tourists.
Do you mean we change our accent?
Yes.
Apparently, tourists cannot understand us if we speak Bahamian. So we got to put on American, the Geechee talk. See, that's where the Gullah Geechee is. A Afro-American slang. What you saying, man?
That's not what that is. It's you ever been to Grand Bahama?
Yeah, I've been. Yeah.
Everybody in Grand Bahama either sound like Zhivago Lang, Michael Pintard, or a radio host. Every single voice.
That's because they have their own accent.
It's because, the point is, I don't quite get your position because I get upset when I hear Bahamians engaging tourists with an obviously made-up American accent. You have a problem with that? You have a problem with that?
I laugh. And then I play stupid, so I don't understand what you're trying to say. But that's just me. But I see what you're saying about it. Well, I do have issue with that. And I do have issue that when I'm trying to go to the Bahamian kitchen, right, the Bahamian restaurant. The person who taking me to the Bahamian kitchen can't speak Bahamianese either. They have a different foreign from down south accent. They say, man, this tourism product kind of odd.
What do you mean, take you? The person
they just escort you. No, just walk you. They have walking tours.
Oh, the walking tour?
It's not really a tour. They're just taking you from Bay Street to walk to Bahamian kitchen.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a walking tour, I guess.
And you're saying that many of the people who offer the tours
don't speak Bahamianese.
I don't speak Bahamianese.
I can understand. You sound like you speak Bahamianese.
I mean, but there'll be 1,000 people who text in and say, yeah, sometimes I feel uncomfortable when I hear Erin speaking in dialect, which she's allowed to do because she's a Bahamian.
Well, I had to practice speaking dialect to get this. So, yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when I go to I go to the straw market and I have to find someone who speaks Bahamianese too, right? Or if I go to Market Street and I want to get them counterfeit bags, which supposed to be illegal, which they run from downtown, but it's now a big store market on Market Street.
Mm-hmm.
All of them speak with an accent. And they say, but Bahamians don't sell these illegal bags, don't worry. I like Bahamians selling things to me. I just like Bahamians selling things to me.
What if Bahamians don't want to sell things to you or anyone? Like, what if Bahamians don't want that role? What if Bahamians have decided that the job of selling things to people is beneath them?
But they rather claim people toilets and bathrooms and hotels? That's something wrong with us, man.
I mean, don't forget now that the thing about cleaning toilets and bathrooms and hotels was always about tips. It's always about access to U.S. cash.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There is value. People see value in that employment. And maybe that value has diminished somewhat over the decades. But how you think straw vendors put all of these nation builders through university in England? Mm-hmm. I mean, they couldn't have done it on a straw market wage today.
Mm-hmm.
But they were able to do it back then. But I think that many Bahamians feel like selling things to people is beneath them. Because when they are buying things from people they tend to be disrespectful. Mm. They have an attitude when they have money in their hand. You ever been into a fancy food store and interact with the patrons like in the store, in the parking lot? Bahamians have a very bad attitude when they're spending their money, right? Like in places where the prices are extremely high. It's like, I got money in my hand. You can't talk to me. Mm. Don't have nothing to say to me. I got money. I could be in here. I could spend my money, right? But the question is, why is it that Bahamians don't want to fill these roles? Yesterday, I posed the question. I can pose it again today. What if when Sir Lyndon Pindling said you need to fight for your country, if you want a country, you got to fight for it, and I paraphrase in wildly, of course, what if he meant you need to be prepared to have two or three jobs? What if he meant you need to be prepared to live above your shop? Right? What if he meant that you have to live in the community you were born in or where your homestead is to ensure that resources are continually diverted to that community, to your family legacy? Mm-hmm. What if that's what Pindlin meant when he said, you got to fight for your country if you want it?
Well, we have had some people waiting to engage us for a while.
Oh, my bad.
It's 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. And, of course, you're calling from the Family Islands. It's 242-300-5720. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Today is a mashup Wednesday where we mash two shows up together. We are open line today, but we want to talk cannabis.
Yeah.
So we'll go through that, too. But we had to talk
about agriculture, right? Because cannabis is agriculture.
And that's what you do also as part of your gig.
The agriculture part.
Yeah. Let's go, caller. How are you doing today?
Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning. Speaking of linguistics, I was watching a podcast the other day from America, and it's early in the morning kind of time, and so one of the guys had just woken up, and he was having a hell of a time trying to describe that thing that's in your eye in the morning. And so I realized that the Americans have no noun for BB. So, you know, maybe when they come here, we could speak to them comprehensively using all of our parlance and terms of art, and they could increase their communicative competence by from a stay in the Bahamas.
Absolutely.
What do you think about that? Thank you.
Absolutely. I will say this. They do have a term, but it's not as beautiful, as colorful, as magical as the term that we have. It's just mucus, right? BB in your eye is just mucus.
Jamaicans is called it mata-mata.
Yeah.
I have a brother-in-law say, man, you have mata-mata in your eye. And I say, I have a what in my eye? Mata-mata. You mean the bibby?
Yeah. Right? Well, I mean, look at how colorful and beautiful that is. I mean, considering what it is we're talking about, right? But yes, Texter, I love it. And it should be a part of the Bahamian tourist experience. Every tourist that comes off a cruise ship is supposed to get a pamphlet that's a linguistics guide. Here are the words you need to know when in the Bahamas, right? Here are the words you need to know when in New Providence. Here are the words you need to know when in Cat Island. Here are the words you need to know when in Eleuthera, when in Abaco. We see we got a caller lining up in a moment. A text here says, all Bahamian pepper speaks Creole, Mr. Nuri.
All Bahamian pepper speaks Creole.
He said, every pepper grown on Andrus was cultivated by Haitian labor. I'm not quite sure. Can't be every single pepper.
The issue is not being cultivated by Haitian labor. I know Haitian labor fuels our agricultural industry. Mm-hmm. I expect that. I expect even up to 90%. See how high gone? 90% of our labor force in agriculture is Haitian-oriented. I just expect retail should... The retail of it should be Bahamian. The front side, it should be Bahamian. Now, I'm not saying that there shouldn't be a Haitian point also because they sell to their own people, right? I understand that. But because we are trying to grow our agricultural business and saying how important it is, there should be a Bahamian depot to show that we are doing this, not they are doing this for us. And that's lacking. I need to see a Haitian... depot.
Okay, caller, come in right now. That's a conversation we need to have with Bahamians, not about Haitians.
Now, the place you used to go to on Saturdays, out on
Gladstone.
All that is Bahamian. I mean, one or two may be Haitian, but all that is Bahamian. I go there for the interaction, Bahamian culture, and say that's my
people. Let's go to the caller, and then we're going to get back to that.
Yeah, that's it.
Right back to that point.
Yeah,
remember it. Good morning, caller.
Caller, you there?
Good morning, caller.
Producer Patrick Forward. I hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello.
Hi, yeah, good morning.
No, I just said, I grow okra 14 inches long. I haven't seen anybody top that yet. Nuri, quite frankly, I don't know who's Bahamian anymore. Because it appears as though Finland did say it right. If Bahamians aren't willing to fight for their country, they don't deserve to have it. So it appears as though that the whole constitution of this country is being rewritten right in front of our eyes on another slate. Because there are some persons where they are not penalized for what they do and others are. So what is Bahamian? Because you won't buy from a Bahamian?
Mm-hmm. I won't buy from Bahamian. I won't haggle. I want him to understand what I'm doing, the history of it.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
To say, hey, what you making? I'm making pepper sauce. Did you try this? Yeah. And I say, yeah, I tried that, but I ain't like that taste. And then they go in the detail of the history of Bahamian making pepper.
And then you would feel comfortable buying from that individual.
And if that's lacking, I can't buy it.
But what expectation you have of people who just selling pepper?
I speak to them, expect them to speak English.
I mean,
and no Bahamian.
How many Bahamians have you interacted with where you could have that type of engagement about the product they're selling?
Outside of me. When there was a pepper shortage, mm-hmm. You know I say I buy no pepper, right? Until I find a Bahamian buying pepper. I went to Port of Ski, right? And there's a lady who's installed right next to the bathroom there. Bathroom thing there. They need to fix the bathroom over there, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And she engaged me. The same thing I'm talking about, she did the same thing. So what you know about this type of pepper? And I said, man, I make my own pepper sauce. And she told me, did you try this? Right? And I asked her, where'd you get the pepper? Because it's a pepper shortage. And she go on in detail on why she can't buy no peppers or whatever it is. And I felt that Bahamian sense. I said, miss, I appreciate you. Here's this extra $2. Because the conversation, the engagement was worth the exchange. Man, she charged more. But I mean,
that's
I tipped still.
Experience, Aaron. That's what he wants.
Right. That's what he wants. You know how much extra that is cost on the pepper? You know how much extra value they put on the pepper when you want to talk about the pepper? But I find that is a beautiful experience, but it's a rare experience. Now, back to these 14-inch okra, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, man. most people don't do it the way I do it. And I'd love to sit down with Sparky to see how he does it, too. But the fact of the matter is, you remember when Jesus cursed a tree and the tree withered up and died?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could actually do the reverse to your trees and you can have them. But this one I threatened to cut down, and all of a sudden he decided to give me more fruits, but only where the sun is shining side.
Yeah.
These trees have a way of getting back at you, you know.
Yeah, okra's beautiful. Every day okra will give you a gift.
Amen.
Every day, with the right amount of sun, every day you get an okra pod from your okra bush.
But Aaron, you was talking about the bibi, right?
Yeah.
Listen up carefully. We were born with this endocrine system
mm-hmm.
that actually is battling with cancer before it actually appears mm-hmm. to us. And if we would learn those points, those nodes that we need to massage, because you see, the same way you have a sewer system outside, you have a sewer system inside your mm-hmm. stomach, right?
Yes.
But there are pipes that lead to that sewer system, and that's the endocrine system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the endocrine system is clogged up, you have to clear it up from the closest point to the sewer, meaning the sewer tank.
Yep.
So you have to clear it from reverse. So there are certain points that you have to push because those are little toilets that has to flush. And if you flush the one in the front, it's going to back up.
Yeah.
You follow this?
Yep.
The first one to flush is the one around the collarbone. Now you check out the other five and you will never have breast cancer. You just live healthy and you'll probably die in your sleep.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that. Let's go to the next caller, producer. You still have that? You still stuck your pin? We're going back to that. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron, and good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning. How you doing?
Mr. Neary, I'm with you. If you could say the things I see the way I see it, I buy into.
That's how I look at it.
You don't understand me? I see they're trying to foreignize you, but stick with it, Mr. Neary. Stick with it.
Mm.
And Aaron, you made a comment about former Prime Minister Mayor Soares, and he's still in saying maybe if you want your country, you have to live in the community in which you were birthed.
Well, yeah, when he said you have to fight for it, maybe, what if that's what he meant?
No, he could not have meant that because the minute he made money, didn't he move out of his community into a money-looking like type community?
Like
so he could not have meant that one.
Well, I mean, shouldn't the prime minister be... Like, here's what I'm saying. I don't want my prime minister in a community, and every morning when he doing his morning address, you could hear putting him in the background saying, come a 2-half bag for 7.
I can do that. I can see that happening, because to me, it makes me feel like I'm more... you're more in tune with what's going on in these communities when you stay in these communities. But when you stay outside of the community and you tend to traverse around the community versus going into the community, unless it's something that you want,
mm-hmm.
this is why people feel so detached from you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, you see? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I feel like yes, that's what he meant. And he should have made an example and stayed in the community. Build the same type of home. You know, like Mother Pratt, how she did hers. She stayed mm-hmm. in her community. So that's why her people felt more closer to her.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
You understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Morning, how you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I see you got C.A. Newry on your show again.
Yes, sir.
Isn't this some kind of conflict of interest thing?
You listen, I was just about to play Johnny Cake new song Wig Boyfriend, but that ain't what's happening here.
No. He got the paper market cornered. you know, and he still, you know, acting like he nothing happened.
I can't market cornered if I don't get access to pepper.
Now I will admit he gave me a free sample. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think he feel like overstepping his boundaries right now.
I just need access to more pepper. I need access to more pepper. That's my complaint. And I want the access to be Bohemian.
If I find anything extra, I can call you because I got your number.
Yes, please.
Well, listen, let me tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the peppers that at the stage where they're not going to sell at the retail market. Right?
Oh, boy.
That's what I got. Okay, I got my gloves. I got my gloves, and I could come through and clean up the bag myself.
A cleaner.
Yeah.
Yeah, a cleaner. All right. Okay.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Okay, baby.
Mr. Newry, what's interesting is that we have several, what I like to call, fruit mafias operating in the country. When I say fruit mafias, what I mean is that we have several sort of systems that have developed where it's actually a very, very tight market. You need to have lots of money to be able to participate in it, where vendors are buying, say if 60 cases of mango come on the boat on a Tuesday, you have vendors, say 3 vendors are trying to buy 50 of those. 3 vendors are all trying to buy 40 cases out of the 60, right? And then the price of mango just escalates. People out here want us to pay $5 and $6 for one mango. Even for mangolas, even for the the small seed big mango, right? Where you're going to get tons of flesh. I think these prices are high, but they're high because we've allowed systems to develop that really come from a capitalist retail sort of commercial market, not an agricultural market. I see we have another call on the line, and then producer, maybe we go to a break. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning, Mr. Neary.
Morning, how you do?
All right, Mom. But as long as I can find me one or two little red, dumb red pepper to season my snapper, Mr. Neary could have all the pepper you want.
You'd like bird pepper?
Yes, Mom, for the fish.
For the snapper, what type of snapper you season with bird pepper?
The regular set. I mean
like lean snapper and, yeah. Go on.
What I wanted to say is that I've heard that that quote from the Prime Minister of Finland before about fighting for your country, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he never said fight who. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
He never said fight who. And to be honest with you, when I think about it, the only people he could have been talking about is people like himself, politicians, because they are the only individuals with the power and the ability to sell off the country. Or to cause us to lose it. You know what I mean? So if we are not willing to fight them, we're going to lose the country. Because he never said who. He couldn't have been talking about the Haitians. You know what I mean? Because he has the power or the government is the one with the power to stop them from doing anything, right? So who was the prime minister talking about when he said we have to fight them? It only could be the politicians because only them have the power to sell up the country. Y'all have a nice day.
Brian, hold on, before you go.
I like that question, though.
Yes, ma'am.
Before you go, how do we do that?
Well, we have to, first of all, we have to understand that there's power in numbers. Mm-hmm. Even Mr. Lang, who was a former politician, said...
And parliamentarian.
Yes, ma'am, said lately on a show that we, the people, don't understand the power that we have. That we are, that if we are able to unite ourselves and speak with a loud enough voice, that we can get our government to do anything. You know what I mean? That we choose. That's what Mr. Lang said recently, less than a week ago, he said on his show.
Right?
So that's what we need. But see, what we lack, Ms. Green, and like that what you, so timely, that you spoke about is that public intellectuals thing. You know, we lack individuals with the ability to organize, individuals with the ability to, knowledge of what is going on, to speak up and organize the people.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we need because, like just like in politics, you need charismatic individuals, though. You know what I mean? Who are intelligent and who are driven and focused on a goal. The politicians are focused and driven on the goal of being elected. You know what I mean? But we need individuals who are focused on the goal of fixing this country, of trying to bring happiness to everybody. You know what I mean? That everyone who is here has the essentials they need to live and to be happy. And when I say everyone, everyone, because I've had an experience that, I would like to tell it about a particular party that I, you know what I mean? Because, you know, when you are running for an office, right, you have to understand that you represent everyone, the beggar on the street, barefoot, with, you know what I mean, who, you know what I mean? To the rich individual, the richest individual inside your constituency. And your duty is to treat both of them with the same care and attention, you know, without any kind of bias. You see, that's the kind of leadership we need. We need individuals who are concerned with satisfying the lives of people, bringing joy and happiness. Like they say, wipe every tear. That's the kind of mentality we need. But like you say, Ms. Green, like you asked the question, Ms. Green, the only way we can do that, like I say, is through unity. And Mr. Lang himself said that we, the people, don't realize
the power we have,
powerful we are, if we are only able to organize ourselves and speak with a voice that's loud enough we could get our government to do anything.
All right. I appreciate
the time, Ms. Green. I appreciate the question. Mr. Nuri,
just
save a cup of paper for me, man.
I will save a cup
blessings.
Of
blessings.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Absolutely. You're on the clock with Aaron Green and Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We're mashing it up today. We'll be right back after this break.
Ain't nobody know. UFO. It's so strong it shoots him through the sky like the UFO. What's this I see? Cloud of smoke in front of me.
Yeah, what boss man was saying in the back there just now.
About what? The luncheon?
Why are you always worried about food? No, about how we gotta pay a little more for national insurance.
Mildred, you talking fool. I can't afford to pay that.
And you're always crying, poor mouth. Ain't gonna be much. Boss still gotta pay. 1st of July, 2024.
I think that criminal benefit is what did help my boy Tony through the pandemic. That same unemployment benefit. And guess what?
What?
Susan, I think she'd get a pregnancy benefit, eh?
You mean maternity benefit, eh? So now, we gotta do our part to make sure we get our pension. All right.
For more information, visit NIPRateIncrease.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk. Quality.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I've got an important message. A text came through. Bamboo Boulevard in the South Beach community has been without electricity, without electrical supply for over 24 hours.
Where is this again?
South Beach community, Bamboo Boulevard.
Okay, South Beach.
Right, and they've asked if we could use the airwaves to share this message with BPL. Bamboo Boulevard in the South Beach community has been off for over 24 hours now.
Is it part of their load shedding people schedule, or you think they get forgotten about?
24 hours?
Yeah, they're getting forgotten about.
Yeah.
Yeah, they forget them.
There are still some pockets, some communities that are not on BPL's monitoring grid. So when the power goes off in your community, BPL is not aware that you no longer have power supply.
So what should happen if your light is off more than, like I say, 3 hours, 4 hours? Like, do like 4 hours, do you panic and say something wrong?
Yeah. On a weekday, after 2 hours and you get no response, right? Like you now, before you used to be able to call a control room and indicate to them, hey, I'm in this particular community, we're not on your grid. Here's what the problem is. Now you have to, now you called an automated system.
Yeah,
an automated system. Right? So after 2 hours, if it's a weekday and I'm free, I drive into BPL.
We have BPL now.
It don't matter. Wherever it is, I can find it.
Yeah.
On a weekend, you begin to panic, right?
But don't they have like a community watch group? Like, because we have a WhatsApp group in Fox Hill. And then we start to say, hey, we all can call, eh? this is our plan.
Right.
Just this number. So, we can call right after each other and keep bombarding the system.
It's not about bombarding the system. It's an actual response to their policy. Because when you call and the first thing they say is, are you certain that the outage is not restricted to your location? Mm. You sure your neighbor's off too?
Mm-hmm.
You sure this is not a problem with your own house?
They do ask that.
Right? And I want to say to staff at BPL, if it is a problem with my own house, trust me, I am not the electrician that's going to fix it. How do I know? Mm. Here's the thing. How do I know whether it's a problem with my house or not? Mm-hmm. Now I can, what I do is I listen for generators to cut on. I don't have one, so I could hear them clearly, right? But I wait. And if, when I hear the generators come on and I know, okay, the bill was paid, it's not because the bill wasn't paid. And then you say, okay, it's not isolated to your own residence. But it's calling one neighbor after the other is important so that you can prove to them that the issue is not isolated to your residence. And so that's what you do. And then try to use the WhatsApp channels to communicate it. God forbid it's a holiday weekend. But at the same time, I will say that BPL's emergency response team is excellent.
Mm.
They're excellent. A couple of years ago, we had a large commercial vehicle pull down a cable that was not hung at the, or hanged? No, it was not hung at the correct height.
Mm.
And on New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine all the people in the libations, maybe driving a little recklessly. There's no light there because the power's damaged. And they came out, and when they realized that the other service providers had not come out yet to remove their lines from the road, hanging precariously in the road, they took it upon themselves to clear the roadway.
Mm-hmm.
And to hang the lines as high as they could without interfering with the infrastructure of those service providers. Excellent, excellent.
Good. I know we have some texts,
yeah.
And I know we supposed to spoke about this marijuana because you get upset when I call it weed. And you said, what do you call it, hemp? What do you call weed?
Weeds are simply unwanted plants. It's a catch-all term that's been vilified, right, in an attempt to vilify those who consume cannabis.
But on the next side, we can talk about weed and this law.
We can talk about cannabis?
All these big words, because I can't even spell cannabis. We can talk weed and marijuana.
That's fine. That's fine with me.
Herb.
Once we talk about...
the indica.
Are we going to talk about dope?
We can talk about dope.
Because my body produces dope naturally.
We could talk about dope.
I mean, because dope is short for dopamine.
We could talk about
dope. See how they vilified a natural human process in their attempts
I don't care. All the big words you try to confuse me with. We could talk about dope and weed on the next side. Because I want to know some definitions, right? And also,
is this going to be only medical dope we're dealing with? And this is going to be a smoking dope thing?
Dopamine is a chemical then that your medical, body naturally I can change it to
weed. Are we going to talk about medical
cannabis,
weed?
Cannabis is the preferred term. Dope, weed, and even marijuana.
You can start talking about it without reading the text? You can read the text first.
Okay. Slurs.
Which word do you want me to use for the conversation?
Cannabis.
Cannabis. Mm-hmm. Cannabis. Yes.
Yes,
so read
can.
The text.
You know a rap song or two.
I read cannabis?
You know the cannabis? Can I bus? Yes, I can. You was just quoting it just now.
Okay. Yes, yes, I can.
Text. Good morning. I agree with Nuri. I purchase nothing from Haitians if I can help it. However, a few days before Good Friday, I was all over looking for pepper to season my fish. I came across a Haitian lady on Carmichael Road selling from her back trunk with a child. I did purchase probably a pint of pepper in a plastic bag from her. That was very rare of me, but I felt I needed to. P.S. The child served me. I love children. They are innocent.
Yeah. But child's Bahamian more likely. And I transition when it was Bahamian children, right? Now, I buy chicken, what do you call it, chicken wings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go to the Chinese to buy chicken wings either. Not though I don't like Chinese food. I go to Chinese when I want Chinese food. It have to be a Chinese serving me. But if I want raw chicken and pork chop and thing, I am not going to the Chinese. I'm going to budget.
So pause for a second though.
Or City Market. Or one of those places. I'm just saying.
What if the Chinese person is Bahamian?
Then he would have to say, what you saying, bae? And we have some nice tea on pork chop. And I say, what you saying, bae? And then I'll buy the pork chop then. But if he ain't saying what you saying, bae, he ain't gonna get my money. I just said, that's just me. You can be cool, right? But I prefer to hear that Bahamian accent when I come to buy my produce and my food. So no, I do not go to the Chinese food store. Mm-hmm. I go to Bahamian convenience stores. It's just me.
Good morning, Aaron. It's compost, not trash. Potential heavy metals in trash can poison a consumer. I use the term organic trash. Trash is dry, garbage is wet, right? So we're not talking about collecting garbage from people's yards and sorting it and throwing it on the lot. We're talking about organic trash. And I use the word trash intentionally, Texter, because most people perceive it to be trash and only trash.
What do you call it? Garbage.
Garbage is wet. Trash is dry.
See, learning new things.
Another text. I just learned that about 17 weeks ago. Don't watch nothing.
Okay.
The guy with all those guns and drugs should have gotten 20 years. 5 years is a disgrace. We need to send a stern message. The judiciary is the problem. That's what the texter said. I didn't say that. Dear texter.
Is it the judiciary or the laws?
Right.
If it's the laws, it'll be parliament.
We've got three branches of government. Legislature, that's parliament, that's upper house, lower house.
Mm-hmm.
We have the judiciary, that's judges. And then we have...
cabinet, the executive.
The executive. Legislature creates the laws.
Mm-hmm.
The judiciary...
Wait, the executive states the direction. Like, these are the laws I'm planning to bring forward. Then one debates the laws.
Right, so the executive say, these are the laws that we want.
Yes.
The legislature says, well, we accept that those laws are needed. Mm-hmm. We agree. And the judiciary enforces the penalties attached to the laws.
Yes.
Right, they determine whether the law has actually been broken or not, and then they attach penalties. And so I think it's unfair to say that the judiciary is the problem.
When it clearly is the legislative.
And the executive.
And the executive.
Both separate, right? They're separate entities, but working together. I think the problem lies there.
Yeah, but perhaps we need to have a show on just explaining that.
Right, and some examples of where conflicts may arise. Like, for instance.
I was just going to say for instance, too. Go ahead.
I'm concerned.
What are you concerned about?
The recent Eugene DePuch Distinguished Lecture Series. Learned members of the judiciary, the current Chief Justice and former Chief Justices, sat in this Distinguished Lecture Series, and they discussed, I think, primarily the question of whether the Bahamas should introduce judge trials, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eugene DePuch Distinguished Lecture Series, a normal, regular regularly occurring.
Yeah.
Chief Justices spoke. And then 3 seconds later, the legislature was debating a bill on judge trials. There seemed to be no public consultation. I'm not sure if there was consultation with what we call the judiciary. The judiciary is more than just judges. In terms of the branches of government, it's the judges. But in terms of the judiciary in its general sense, that includes the lawyers, proponents of the legal system as well. But here we had this discussion, and then 3 seconds later, we have bills tabled, and we don't know if there was actual consultation with members of the judiciary. There was surely no public consultation with the citizens and the electorate. And for a matter as serious as this, talking about providing an alternative to a jury trial, which is your constitutional right, and we should discuss that as well, why that's important. I'm uncomfortable with that environment.
Mm.
Because surely there should have been real substantive public consultation on a matter as serious as this. Sure, the legislature has the power to create laws that may contradict the Constitution because they're deemed to not be in contradiction until they're proven to be in contradiction, right? So yeah, the legislature has the power to do this. But should they have done it without substantive public consultation? And if for any reason you do it to avoid the perception that the legislature and the judiciary and the executive are working hand in hand and are prepared to ignore the rules that bound them when it's convenient to them, but the demand that we uphold the rules that bound them when it's expedient to them. Anyway, the producer played our music again. We at the end of the hour, we're going to go to a break and then we transition to the second half. You've been On the Clock with Aaron Green and Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. And guess what? When we come back from the break, we can give you a little bit more.
We can talk about weed. No, you said cannabis, right?
Cannabis.
We can talk about cannabis.
Yes, cannabis.
An open line again.
And Indian hemp products. An open line.
What's the Indian hemp products? That's Indica? Anyway, we're going to be right back.
I know a girl named Indica. I don't know Indica other than that, though.